Q3 earnings report, which will be on Wednesday after market close. I'll of course do what we normally do, the live stream of the shareholder letter when that comes out, as well as the earnings call where I'll take notes. So make sure to tune in for that. But today we're going to go through the numbers. As you can see on screen here, I'm not going to hide them. I kind of already spoiled my final number on Friday anyway. I did slightly tweak that over the weekend, increasing it a bit, but I do want to go through why my forecasts are what they are. We'll also take a look at analyst consensus as well. And as you can see, I am expecting a little bit of a beat here for Tesla for Q3. So, first things before we even get into that, though, we gotta take a quick look at the stock price. I won't put it on screen, but Tesla today up 7%, so a nice recovery from the action that we had last week, closing at $219.35. So a lot, pretty much in that range where we closed at oftentimes last week, but sure feels better after an up 7% day. The Nasdaq today up about 3.5%. So Tesla performing almost the 2x beta that we're kind of used to seeing. All right, so getting into the earnings preview here. First, we'll just go through some of the numbers that I'm forecasting. So starting off with deliveries, of course, we know that about 344,000 vehicles delivered. I've got the analyst consensus over here. So there you can see that I kind of just show this to demonstrate that not all analysts have necessarily completely updated their numbers. We are still seeing the average a little bit higher than what Tesla has reported. It just goes to show that some of these expectations might not necessarily match perfectly with what we're seeing in terms of Wall Street's actual expectations. So while we do have the consensus here, that's always going to be a little bit different from what the whisper number or true expectations are. In this case, deliveries are actually a little bit higher. So, presumably, if analysts had updated it, every single one, the consensus might be a little bit lower, but not anything too significant. So anyway, 344,000 deliveries, we know that. That gives me automotive sales of about $19.6 billion. That's a couple hundred million dollars higher than the street consensus is right now. Automotive regulatory credits, I'm at about 320 million. So nothing there really causing too much of a difference in the top line for automotive sales. Only $9 million different from street expectations. Energy sales, I'm at 1.1 billion, about $940 million for the street. Services and others, I'm at 1.6 versus about 1.45 for the street. So all in, my revenue is at 22.4 billion versus about 21.8. I'm about $500 million higher than consensus. If we look at the ASP section here, so average selling price, we can see why I am forecasting that. We've got a few factors here. I think these are always interesting to look at as we head into earnings, just to kind of, let us know what to expect. And as I say every quarter, it's not necessarily the exercise that we're going through here. It's not necessarily to try and, get what Tesla's earnings are going to be 2 days ahead of time. It's more to just understand what's going on with the business, understand the numbers when we do get them, what they mean, most importantly, what they mean for the business going forward. So that's where this rationale really comes into play and where we can start to understand, are these things that we're seeing reported important or not? How does that influence going forward? So for average selling price this quarter, it's weird. Like, we don't have great insight this quarter because we don't necessarily know how Tesla's been managing their business just from the information that we have. So on the positive end of the average selling price spectrum, we've got price increases that should continue hitting in the United States. We know that Tesla has been raising those prices throughout the year. So what we don't know is how Tesla has been prioritizing those deliveries. We've seen a little bit from Tesla where they have taken orders that may have been newer, higher priced vehicle sales and delivered those a little bit earlier, which means we could be facing the opposite results from that happening this quarter or maybe even the next quarter when Tesla works through those higher priced vehicles and then starts to deliver more from that lower price backlog. So because we haven't had great insight into how that has been, it makes it really difficult for us to forecast average selling price. But because of the price increases that we have had, I am still expecting, or forecasting rather, the average selling price in the United States up by $2,000. So still an aggressive forecast on that, I think. Last quarter, total worldwide vehicles, I think we saw average selling price increase by something like $5,000. So it was really high. I'm talking quarter over quarter here, still projecting pretty big increases, at least for the United States. On the opposite side of that, well, I guess one more thing that is going to drive ASPs up. Model 3 should be less of a mix this quarter based on what Tesla's reported and my forecast of the lower level numbers, splitting out Model 3 from Model Y. I'm at about 39% last quarter for Model 3 in the total vehicle mix. That's down to 33%. So all the other vehicles, of course, higher average selling prices, that's going to help out as well. On the opposite side of those things, working against higher average selling prices, you have less S and X in the mix. So even though S and X vehicle deliveries did increase quarter over quarter, it's less of a percentage of the total this quarter than last. So 6.3% last quarter, 5.4% this quarter. Similar thing with China. We've got a bigger mix of vehicles produced at Giga Shanghai, which likely carry a lower average selling price, especially since we did see, for the quarter at least, record sales domestically in China. So of 44% last quarter, 53% this quarter. So that should lower average selling prices as well. And then foreign exchange impact, Tesla noted this in their second quarter results as well, that did have a negative effect on profitability. That should negatively impact average selling prices as well as costs. I've got that noted in both sections here. Should drive both down. But because Tesla did note it as a negative profitability factor last quarter, the impact to average selling price likely more significant than the impact to cost of goods sold. So, like I said, a lot of factors here, and we just don't have enough information to really determine that. And starting at the top, that's going to flow through every other number, which makes this not necessarily the most uncertain quarter we have, but it gives us a pretty wide range of outcomes that are conceivable. At the end of the day, I'm expecting average selling prices to increase by about $600. Again, it was multiple thousand dollars from Q2 to Q1. So we'll see. That's a big, you know, uncertainty for me when we go through these results. Cost of goods sold, we're talking about pretty similar impacts there. I mentioned foreign exchange and mix shifts. Daily production rate increases, that should significantly reduce the cost of goods sold this quarter. Last quarter, you know, we had downtime in Shanghai, Tesla only selling 255,000 vehicles. That was their lowest since, you know, 6 months prior to that. So when Tesla has that production downtime, we can see it in the operating margin line here. They just can't leverage things to the same extent as when they are at full uptime. So that applies for an operating profit perspective, but also applies to just the pure automotive gross profit too, before we even account for operating expenses. So more vehicles produced, the less the marginal unit cost is going to be for each vehicle, and that's going to help bring your cost of goods sold down. So I've got that, mix shifts, foreign exchange impact, and then offsetting those should be materials and sourcing. Although spot prices haven't necessarily increased throughout this quarter compared to where they were in Q2, there's likely some lag time for Tesla between when prices change in the market to when they actually come through to Tesla's books because of contract, supplier contracts and things like that. So, you know, this might not be a cost increasing factor this quarter, depending on how quickly those terms are updated, but certainly something that could still be having an impact. We last quarter saw a huge jump in average cost of goods sold per vehicle. So I'm not expecting that this quarter because of these things, but we did see it significantly last quarter. And that plays into my point here, which is kind of the last one, which is another question mark for cost of goods sold. What does the Berlin and Texas efficiency look like this quarter? Particularly, it seemed like Texas caused huge increases in cost of goods sold last quarter as some of those costs shifted from the SG&A line, or sorry, shifted from the R&D line into SG&A. Sorry. Shifted from the R&D line into cost of goods sold. So we had about $865 million in Q1 in R&D, only $667 million in Q2. The difference here pretty much went into automotive cost of goods sold, which drove that down. For, you know, we're seeing a 33% gross margin fall to 28%. A lot of that was being driven by Texas and Berlin moving lines. And I think most of that was 4680 stuff, so that could be just as big of a hit this quarter as things go by. And again, as that those expenses are amortized over more vehicles, I'm hoping that that's a little bit less significant, or modeling that that's less significant. But it is still, again, a huge question mark for this quarter. So at the end of the day, I am forecasting, even though we saw a multiple $1,000 increase in cost of goods sold last quarter, for cost of goods sold to fall this quarter by $800 per vehicle, primarily because of this increased production rate. I might be under forecasting that. Again, it's really tough to know. But that is where I'm at. So once we go through there, you can see some of the profits here, and I'll swing back around to energy sales and services and others towards the end, but just kind of automotive obviously driving most of this. Gives me an automotive gross margin of 29.4%. So that's up, what, 150 basis points from last quarter. 200 basis points on the X credit line, as we have a little bit less in credits and just a higher top line number. And then we've got energy and service. Again, I'll swing back around on that, but just to kind of get through the expenses here. This quarter, the biggest change is that we don't have a Bitcoin impairment, most likely. I don't think there would be one. It'd be very small if there is any. And there should be no restructuring charges either this quarter, most likely. That was about $40 million last quarter. Bitcoin, about $100 million. So we just take that out. That obviously impacts operating expenses. So I have those down quarter over quarter, even though revenue is up by, you know, $6 billion, $5.5 billion on the top line. A lot of that then flows through, and we get to a 19.1% operating margin. I'm a little bit lower than what we had here in Q1, but you got to remember, Q1 was really boosted by the $679 million regulatory credit number, which just goes right through to the bottom line, you know, at least to the operating income line, taxes after that, but that just flows right through. So a lot of people might make the comparison of just saying, oh, hey, we've got Q1, 310,000 vehicles, we've got Q3, 345,000 vehicles. Why would the operating margin be lower? Well, that would be the main factor. If you were to reduce these both to zero, you'd see a higher operating margin X credits for Q3 here than you would for Q1. So definitely important to keep that in mind when looking at those historicals. And then on sort of the net income lines, I've got $5.6 billion in EBITDA. So $5 billion was the previous high for Tesla. That's, you know, significant growth for a couple of quarters there. $600 million better. Non-GAAP net income, $4.2 billion. Stock-based compensation, I have pretty much flat quarter over quarter. You can see we're now getting through Elon Musk's compensation plan, and this would actually be the last quarter. There's about $9 million left, and that's it. You can see last year it was $190 million expense for Tesla. So even though we've got more employees now than we did last year, I am forecasting for lower stock-based comp. GAAP net income, $3.9 billion, and that's getting me to my bottom line of $1.21 non-GAAP earnings per share and $1.11 GAAP earnings per share. So talked about expenses on the income line. That GAAP earnings per share number, that gets me to the last 12 months earnings per share being $3.39 at our $220 share price today. That's a price to earnings ratio of 65 times on, again, the last 12 months numbers, which, you know, we had production shutdowns here in Q3, even significantly in Q2. I think maybe impacted Q1 a little bit as well, but certainly, you know, we're going to see Tesla improving as we go forward on all of these numbers. So really the better way to look at it, you know, not even the best way to look at it, but better than trailing 12 months would be annualizing Q3. Tesla should be able to maintain output like this. On that basis, we're at 50 times annualizing that Q3 number of $1.11. Again, that's a GAAP number. So 50 times earnings for a company like Tesla, super cheap in this market. We're talking about, you know, whether you think the market is overpriced or underpriced, valuations are lower than where they were a few months back. A company like Chipotle right now, trading at 58 times earnings. Nothing against Chipotle. I actually had Chipotle for lunch. I like the company, but Tesla's growing much faster. They have more opportunity because of the markets they're in. Tesla's made less progress on their growth potential than Chipotle has at this point in time. You know, the combination of those two valuations doesn't really make a lot of sense when you look at the financials. So how long we see that type of an opportunity for Tesla could be a while, who knows, but it's pretty clear that relative to other companies, you know, that have higher growth rates and higher growth potential, Tesla really stands out in terms of how cheap it's starting to get. So again, like I said on Friday, I think it's exciting opportunity here to be accumulating the stock. Okay, cash flow. So bottom line here, we've got analyst expectation about $2.3 billion. One thing to keep an eye out on this line, Tesla did produce 22,000 more vehicles this quarter than delivered. And when they do that, obviously that's going to hit cash flow because you're spending cash to produce those vehicles. They'd end up not being delivered. So that could be, you know, $500 million, $1 billion impact on free cash flow. So we could see, you know, I don't model this specifically, but probably around $2 billion is, you know, the ballpark I'm expecting. Analysts might not have quite factored that in, but, you know, we'll see. This probably isn't too far off what Tesla will come in at, but the reality is that their true cash flow is a little bit better than what it's going to seem this quarter because of that overproduction. So something to keep in mind on that line. Let me swing back around to energy and services and others, because I do have a pretty decent difference here. You know, I'm 18% above analyst expectations on energy, 12% above on services and others. The reason for that is, for energy at least, basically that article that we had from CNBC talking about the presentation that happened at Giga Nevada from an executive there, and he had given pretty specific numbers about Megapack growth quarter over quarter, Powerwall growth quarter over quarter. So I'm basically applying sort of the percentages that were talked about there in that article for this quarter, and that's kind of where this left me. The ASP per megawatt hour, I am forecasting a little bit lower this quarter, because I think the mix is going to shift a little bit from more Powerwall heavy to more Megapack heavy, and Megapack carries a lower average selling price per megawatt hour. So I'm forecasting 1,800 megawatt hours or 1.8 gigawatt hours. Analysts are at about 1.4. Solar too, I have that continuing to grow. Last quarter was great. We saw a huge rebound, 106 megawatts. I'm at 125 megawatts, analysts at 104. So that's where my energy number is coming in. Like I mentioned with the mix for ASP, I do have my energy margin falling slightly over quarter, which might seem a little bit unintuitive because I do have revenue growing so significantly. But again, Powerwall, we know that that's a good margin. Tesla said in their 10Qs, historically, that's energy margin, when we've seen periods like this, was impacted by two things, Solar Roof and Megapacks. Saying Megapack, just not quite there from a cost perspective yet. Tesla should be making progress on that, but with a heavier mix of Megapack, I'm just expecting a slightly lower energy gross margin this quarter. Then services and others, I think the market probably just, you know, under forecasting this, some reason expecting less than last quarter. That's definitely not the trend that we tend to see. Tesla should have more vehicles coming off of lease this quarter than they did last quarter. That should help them with their revenue, selling those vehicles as used vehicles, and should definitely help with their margin too. I wouldn't be surprised if I was under on this, but I am expecting continued growth like we'd seen in Q2. So those are energy and services. I don't know that we talked total gross margin, but that does show me 160 basis point improvement over last quarter, which again, I'm hoping that's conservative based on some of these things like year over year. You know, I've got total sales increasing 63% and total gross profit increasing 63%. Generally, that's not how my forecast would look. Usually, I'm going to have a higher profit percent increase versus revenue because of economies of scale, like I just talked about, production rate increases. You know, when you increase deliveries by 100,000 vehicles, your margin should go up. But just because of some of these unknowns this quarter, you know, it's not that I'm trying to be conservative with my forecast. As I've always said, I just try to put in what I think, but I think there's more opportunity to surprise to the upside on profitability and margin than surprise to the downside. So we'll see how that, you know, shakes out, but that's kind of where I'm at for total gross profit or total gross margin, and that's 80 basis points above consensus, which, you know, we didn't compare these, but it's leading to my 12 cent per share beat versus analyst expectations. So, okay, energy and sales, I think we've covered everything there then. And then if I scroll down a little bit to some of these other notes, these are just kind of things to keep an eye on as we head into earnings, because like I said, these numbers are important and inform us a lot on what's going on with the business and where things go from here. But we'll learn a lot more too. Tesla always talks about some other things on the call. Just on the numbers quick, we might have deferred FSD revenue. Tesla last quarter on their 10Q said that over the next 12 months, they expect to recognize $1 billion in deferred FSD revenue. You know, we've seen them roll out, I believe it happened in Q3, at the end of Q3, start to roll out more broadly FSD in the United States. They probably don't feel like they can recognize this full $1 billion, but, you know, Zach had mentioned previously that one of the criteria that they're looking at for recognition of that is how widespread the release is. So we could see some of that, a decent chunk of that recognized, which would drive all these numbers up. So something to keep in mind. Deferred tax allowance, we've talked about every quarter. Could be multiple billions of dollars there that Tesla ends up recognizing, which could drive these earnings numbers up. Obviously, those would be removed, but if we see a huge, you know, $2 plus print, that would be what would be driving it. Guidance, Tesla doesn't give us really specific guidance, but they do every quarter have this, you know, sort of repeating thing in here saying we plan to grow our manufacturing capacity as quickly as possible. Over a multi-year horizon, we expect to achieve 50% average annual growth in vehicle deliveries. The rate of growth will depend on our equipment capacity, factory uptime, operational efficiency, and the capacity and stability of the supply chain. The only reason I'm calling this out this quarter and not just saying, hey, let's expect this to repeat, is because we know that we're now heading into Q4. We know that Tesla's sort of teetering on the line of being able to accomplish that 50% growth. I think off the top of my head, I don't want to misquote it, but I think it's 495,000 they need. Please double check that number because it's been a little bit since I've looked at that. But regardless of what the number is, if Tesla doesn't feel like they're going to hit that, it might be an opportunity to, you know, just say like, hey, we're talking about a multi-year perspective here, so maybe don't necessarily expect us to go all out trying to hit this 50% number arbitrarily this year when, you know, again, if we look at 3 years, over the next 3 years, they're just trying to do that 50% annually, which could be 40%, and then 60 and 65 or whatever else mix. So just something to keep an eye out for on the guidance. If Tesla does say that, that could, you know, influence what happens in after-hours trading even potentially more so than the numbers that we actually end up getting. If we get a beat and then Tesla comes out and says like, hey, by the way, we might not hit 50% this year, people are going to take that as kind of a warning. So I have no idea what Tesla will do there, but it is something to keep an eye on. And then any product updates, I think on say, we've got a couple of questions on the Cybertruck that look likely to be asked. We know the Semi has just started production, so maybe we'll hear a little bit more on that. And then, of course, I'm sure we'll hear Tesla talk about FSD, probably some things about AI Day, and the rest. So those are kind of what the things that I'm looking for. One last time, it's not so much about how accurate this number is, more just to help us understand some of the items that are going into this and what we'll be able to learn from these numbers and apply to the business going forward, which, you know, I'll put into my model, which runs out through 2030, which of course is available on ShareLoft. Only other couple of items for today, I guess maybe just one other item. Tesla today, Tesla already today reporting that Tesla's leased a warehouse, I think, you know, 500,000 square foot warehouse in Southern Illinois near St. Louis for a parts distribution warehouse. So hopefully that'll help with some service needs. And then I think the other news item today was that they've launched, Tesla's launched in the shop, a new J1772 charging unit. So you can use that then with non-Tesla vehicles versus just the wall connector that would plug directly into a Tesla. All right, so I think that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, October 18th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.